I for sure thought that leprosy was like chicken pox on steroids or something like that. Yeah. Like, I feel like I remember thinking like having chicken pox and being like, oh my gosh, is this leprosy?
I'm going
like,
to die.
I'm going to die. Like, what do I do, right?
Welcome to the Redemption Recap, reminding you of what is happening here at Redemption. Here is today's episode.
Hello, friends. My name is Jordan. I'm the host of the Redemption Recap, a podcast reminding you what is happening here at Redemption Church. I'm super excited. We have James in the studio today. Hey, James.
Hello, what's up?
Hey, not a whole lot. I mean, we did survive the eclipse.
We survived the eclipse.
Which is kind of great, but...
I was actually a little disappointed.
Right? Also with us today, we have a special guest. We have Danae Kovacs.
Woo!
How are we doing?
I am great. I don't know how special I am, but I'm great.
You're pretty special.
You are.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm blushing. I'm blushing.
Well, Danae, hey, thank you so much for joining us today. So I'm be really honest with you. A lot of people see you during announcements, and then they see you in the lobby. So probably one of the questions that they have is, hey, what does Danae do here? So Danae, would you mind sharing with everybody what exactly is your role here at Redemption Church?
Sure. I'm the director of family ministries, so that encompasses just a lot of things. I oversee the hospitality team, but I also just partner with Jen. She does a great job directing the kids and doing all of that, but if she needs anything, I'm there with her. I'm helping also with middle school and youth, and just anything that has to do with any getting anybody in the family connected. So it can be Bible studies, it can be somebody wants to start like a new life group. I meet with them, get a new life group started, try to get people plugged into those life groups. So basically try to connect people. One of the things I love about our church from the very beginning is that, I know Stephen has talked about this, but that one of the words that describes us is family, right? We use that word a lot around here. And so as we grow, one of my passions really is to ensure that all generations come in and are seen and also have that can be part of this family. They understand that there is a role for them here and that they're part of this family.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say this, you did an amazing job of making people feel that way, because obviously when I came here for the first time, we felt like family just walking in the door. So just, not that I have to give you a compliment right now, but I'm giving you a compliment
right
now.
I'll take it. Thank you.
So obviously, you see a lot of new people, you see a lot of families, you see a lot of people that are wanting to get connected here. So I guess one of the questions is Danae, how did you get connected to Redemption? What brought you to Redemption?
So I will give you the very abridged version as best I can.
Okay.
But my husband, Danny, who is somebody who is on the worship team with James, we were at another church and he was actually on staff, and he made a connection with Stephen that way.
Okay.
And they were, friends, kind of, every once in a while would just check in on each other. And then once Danny stepped down from his role, it was really difficult for us to stay, as often happens. Like when you are trying to exit a role in a church, it is really difficult to stay in that church and allow the new people to come in and really take ownership of what you're giving them ownership of, right? So we were looking for a church, and Danny said, like, hey, Stephen's launching. Do you want to go check this out? And I was like, sure. But I'm the very cautious, like methodical one in our relationship.
Okay.
So I was very much like, okay, let's check this out. And then we'll go to like four or five other churches and we'll kind of pray about it and make this a long drawn out, affair. And really from the first time we went, actually when they were at the Holiday Inn just doing some of the planning, first initial meetings, we went there. And instantly, Danny was like, I just feel like God really wants us to be a part of this. And so we were there at the launch in the theater, and then when we got the building and all of that amazing story. So that's how kind of we've gotten connected. As far as my role here, I've always loved serving. I grew up in a Christian home, and we served in our church body very faithfully growing up. And I always had a passion for just kids and the church as a whole, like the church community and what it was and what it actually brought to my family growing up. And so I've always been very passionate about serving. And so from the very beginning, as soon as I could, I started serving, and I was helping in kids and doing a lot of that. And during the pandemic, my company that I'd been with for 26 years, folded, which was, you know, hard. But I was also already doing the kids. Stephen had asked me, like, will you oversee kids for a period of time? And I said, sure. So I was already doing that. And then we got the building and it required more time. And they brought me on as a staff member. And I love it. I love it.
It's so cool to see how this church has grown in the, I'm not going to say short period of time, because it has been quite a bit, but it's been really neat.
It's gone by fast, but yeah, it's been a while.
Well, cool. Well, hey, I'm really excited to get talking in regards to the sermon from yesterday. So obviously, as you guys are fully aware, we are going through the He Saves Us sermon series, where we're talking in regards to different stories where Jesus came in and changed their life. And I know that we kind of spoke about this last week, but do you guys remember when you guys first saw the He Gets Us commercial? I know that this is, I'm kind of changing things on you a little bit, but do you remember when you first saw the He Gets Us commercial?
I don't know that I've ever actually watched it in its entirety.
Really? Okay.
No, I think that I remember seeing, I think they've done little ads here and there before the Super Bowl and all of that, where they're just like little clips, and it said He Gets Us, and they are very vague.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really sure what it was all about. It didn't catch my attention, other than thinking that feels a little too like lovey-dovey and not like, probably not super scripturally sound. But I don't know that I've actually ever seen the full commercial, funnily enough. Yeah.
Well, just as a, you know, spoiler, you're not missing much. So.
Okay, thanks.
What about you, Danae? Do you remember seeing anything?
I am pretty certain that we were watching the Super Bowl, or we don't really watch the Super Bowl in our house. We watch it for the commercials and things like that. Like, whatever. So I think we were watching that, and I saw that commercial. And I don't know that I'm with you. I don't know that it was the full commercial. And my initial thought was, wow, they're actually putting something about Jesus on the Super Bowl, because I know how expensive it is, you know, to run an ad during the Super Bowl. And I thought, somebody's putting some money into this. Like, to me, it was very interesting that there was a message out there even about Jesus at all during the Super Bowl. And then I think afterwards, Danny and I watched it, you know, like did a little bit more research, and kind of it left us thinking like, oh, it almost like what started out as an excitement about them putting Jesus out there, right, became more of like a, oh, wow, we could have done so much more.
Kind of like a letdown.
It could, we could have done so much more with that, right? Yeah. And I say we just as a Christian.
Collectively. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, Danae actually funded the commercial.
Wow.
I'm now fired.
Oh my gosh.
Well, going in regards to the sermon series obviously is to combat the He Gets Us commercial. It's in regards to the power that actually is there when Jesus steps into a story. And I would love to actually dig into yesterday's reading, which is Matthew 8, 1 through 4. And let's read that passage really quick, and then I got a couple more questions in regards to this, but let's start there. Does anybody want to read, or you want me to?
Well, do you want me to read the King James?
No, nobody wants that.
Haters.
I'm happy to read.
All right.
Matthew 8 says, "When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, 'See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'"
You know, it's really interesting to me how sometimes the shortest passages have the greatest impact when it comes time for stories like this. I mean, there's only, what, four lines essentially in this entire thing, and there's so much that we can dig into.
Yeah.
I guess one of the biggest questions I want to ask you is, what stood out to you in this story?
I think the first time rereading it yesterday, that I the first thing that I noticed was really, or that stood out to me, was the great multitudes that were surrounding Jesus at that time. Like, he's coming down from the mountain, there's all these people, and there is this leper who is worshiping him, and that's where his focus goes.
Yeah.
Right? It's not the multitudes that are there. it's that one leper. So I just think that was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like the whole idea of that Jesus would leave the 99 for the one, like he sees the one, and that's exemplified in this story. I think for me, the other thing that stood out is just the way that Jesus chooses to respond to the leper. When you think about Jesus and the fact that he was all powerful and he can heal anyone that he wishes to, right? And, you know, he has all these people following him. It'd be really easy for this to be a very flippant, like, oh yeah, you're good, you're healed, now go, because, you know, he has all this stuff going on, all these people following, I'm sure people asking questions and all kinds of stuff. But as you said, he focuses in, and the way he responds with just simply saying, I am willing, be clean, shows a lot about his heart, that it's not just about the fact that he is all powerful and he can provide healing, but also that he wants to. It just shows like the love of God that, you know, he actually wants to see us restored, and he's willing to stop what he's doing and basically say, like, I am willing, so be clean. I'm going to focus on you in this moment, surrounded by many, but you are the one I'm concerned with because you are the one that needs the healing. Kind of like what he says to the tax collectors, or I guess to the Pharisees when he's eating with the tax collectors, that, like, you know, the sick are the ones who need a doctor, not the healthy. He came for the sick. This is exemplified in this story where he looks out and he sees that person and he's like, oh, that's who I'm here for. I just think that's beautiful.
I think it's really cool. The part that I think is really interesting, and you know, I always know that scripture, there's always an intention with the way that something is worded, the way that it's spoken into a particular way. And I'm looking at Jesus's response, and he says, I am willing. And like, I think through, you know, is this like a, I know obviously it's not capitalized, but he is saying, I am willing. I wonder if there's kind of like a little bit of like an underline, like, I am, in the sense of the Almighty God is saying, God is willing, you know? And it's just, I think it's just a really cool way. And whether whether that is the case or not, it's that kind of like nice little subtle, I am.
Yes.
The great God is willing to, you know?
Which is amazing.
Which is really cool. So I guess, you know, the story is about Jesus healing a leper. And I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is, okay, when you think of leprosy, because, you know, this is one of those weird things that, you know, growing up, I was kind of afraid of leprosy, just because in the scriptures, they made it seem like it's something I'm going to encounter on a regular. But like, when you think of leprosy, what are kind of the first like words or like ideas that come into your guys' mind?
Yeah, I think similar to you, Jordan, like growing up, I for sure thought that leprosy was like chickenpox on steroids or something like that. Like, I feel like I remember thinking like having chickenpox and being like, oh my gosh, is this leprosy?
I'm going
like,
to die.
I'm going to die. Like, what do I do? Right. Or I don't know, like you think of those really painful, skin diseases or rashes or whatever. And, even like, you know, people who then end up getting shingles or whatever, and it can be so painful that movement can be hard or whatever. And you think through that, the physical pain on these people who had leprosy, on top of just the social pain because they were separated and segregated and kind of cast out of community. I do just think like, wow, that had to have been like a really dark thing to walk through.
For sure.
That's definitely like the picture that comes to my mind is just, it's painful and it's dark because it's lonely.
What about you, Danae?
I would say you just took my word. I would say it would be loneliness. I mean, obviously pain, but I think loneliness because they were so ostracized. And you just think about, I don't know, times in your life, like when I would read my Bible and I would come across these people that I knew had been separated from everybody they knew, I would think like, you know, like how difficult that would be to be separated from your family. Or, you know, are there... Maybe because I read a lot of the New Testament in high school, I would think like, you know, being a leper is like being the kid that sits at a lunch table with no one, you know, or like to me that has no support, has no friends. And I didn't have that experience in high school, but I definitely, you know, could see that and think the loneliness, you know, I was not Regina George. I was, I had a group of friends. We were middle, you know, middle crowd. But I do think that there is this sense of like, loneliness that is portrayed in, even when you read in Job or other cases throughout the scripture where leprosy is brought up, you mm-hmm. see like the separation from society and their families and just that loneliness, because God did create us to be in community. And so that had to be very, very difficult.
Most yeah. definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. When I think of leprosy, I'm severely allergic to like poison ivy.
Dang.
And like when I touch it, like I swell up. There was one time I accidentally touched poison ivy without realizing it, and then touched my face.
Oh.
And I was swollen. But I think of leprosy because like the whole concept is like you touch leprosy, you catch it, you are now infected. And like there's no way of cleansing yourself from that besides following the steps that are written in Leviticus.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
And I just, when I think of that, I also think of, pain. I think of, you know, you have this external shame because like you look like someone hit mm-hmm. you with a frying pan. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. that's yeah. where I was at. So like, I guess based upon the conversation that we've had and the definitions that we've kind of come up with, like who would you view, I guess the modern day leopards, of our time?
Yeah, I think that's hard because I think there's different perspectives you can take with that. In one sense, we had talked about in the sermon Stephen mentioned yesterday that oftentimes when someone had leprosy, those who are clean would view it as, well, they have leprosy because they're being punished by God for mm-hmm. a sin that they've committed, right? Mm-hmm. And that, well, they wouldn't have this, like God has inflicted this upon them, and kind of adding to the already shameful, like you said, external shame, but then the internal shame of they're already cast out, and now there's also people who are like, well, it's because you're a sinner, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of like shame on there. And when you think about the spiritual implication that leprosy often plays in the Bible too, it's this idea that Stephen said this yesterday, and I had never heard this before, so I thought this was interesting, that leprosy was more of an ailment and less of a disease. Like, it's not a disease to be healed from, but an ailment to be cleansed from. Mm-hmm. And similarly, in our sinful nature, right, that is something we need cleansed from as well. So my first thought goes to this spiritual application that we're all lepers in a sense, because all of us have sin in our lives. We're all inflicted mm-hmm. by sin True. And this ailment. We were born into it, right? And oftentimes, unlike leprosy, we crave sinful desires, right? Our flesh wants to partake mm-hmm. in sin. And so it's interesting because then you look at it as we're all in need of being cleansed or being washed by the blood, which was through Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So in one sense, I look at it as kind of we're all lepers in a sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Danae, I'd be curious what kind of where you go with that.
I think I had the same kind of springboard into it. Like when I was, you know, listening to Stephen's message, it was definitely, oh, I'm a leper, right? Like mm-hmm. I have sinned. I am no greater than anybody around me, right? It is only through God's grace, you know, there's none righteous, no, not one. Mm-hmm. For all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Like it is only because Christ sacrificed for me that I actually have any kind of righteousness, right? So I think I immediately went to that internal, like, hey, we're all sinful. We all have those spots of leprosy, right? But I think then when you kind of pull back a little and you look at the way you treat people in your Christian walk, or you look at the world as a whole, there are in different times of society or different eras or however you want to look at it, I think there are different people that we would consider to be more the lepers of our community, right? Yeah. And so that could be, you know, the people that other people don't want to associate with for whatever reason. And I think some of that is just based on our predispositions, how we were raised, like all this kind of like what informs who we are, I think then kind of informs who we would view as like lepers, right? So, you know, it could be someone that is, you know, you look at the homeless, you know, like some people just like, I don't want to, you know, like, I'm not sure why are they homeless and why, you know, mm-hmm. how do I engage with that? Or you look at other people who maybe have, you know, that are living in sin, that you're like, I don't want to get near it. I don't want to talk to them. I clearly am judging them by their exterior, kind of how we would do with a leper.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't, so I'm just going to assume, like as a Christian, that they're not going to be, they won't receive any good news or any gospel story that I would share with them. And I think that sometimes as Christians, we put that lens on too. So I think that as, you know, as Christians, when we engage with people in society, we often treat them based on our perceptions. And where I was going with that is, who are we to hold back the gospel, right? And sharing the gospel with anyone. And when we kind of walk in and think like, oh, they're never going to receive this, or we have this viewpoint of them, we're missing opportunities just to share the word of God and the healing. And why wouldn't we want, we are called to share what we've been given, right? Like, that's the beauty of it. Like, I am even though you may look completely different than me, you may have committed sins that I would have never even thought of, or whatever that looks like. We are all still sinners, right? And we have to approach people out in society. And when we engage with people out in public and in the public square, it needs to come from that kind of humility and that kind of desire that we want people to have this great, amazing gift of freedom and grace and salvation that we have.
Agreed.
Yeah, most definitely.
It's kind of funny, because I think sometimes, like, in our human perspective, we logically are like, it's okay if I don't tell this person because X, Y, and Z. For instance, if there is someone that you know, maybe they were a murderer at some point, I don't know, whatever it is, you might think to yourself, well, I need to protect myself, so I don't need to be the one to go and tell this person. Or sometimes even with a homeless person, you can be like, well, how do I know how they got there, and am I safe if I go talk to them, or whatever? And so sometimes as humans, we can almost convince ourselves all the reasons why not to tell someone about Jesus or tell someone the good news. And I think it's interesting, because then Jesus really stands in like stark contrast to that, in regards to, even on a really silly like level, when, you know, if someone is sick or has a cold, or even right now, like you can hear it in my voice, like I'm a little under the weather. Like, you can be very quick to be like, well, I'm not gonna be around that person, or like, I don't wanna talk to that person, or whatever. And then obviously during, you know, COVID and all that craziness that happened, it was very much like, everyone needs to be 6 feet apart, like, don't be near your loved ones, whatever. And it's just, it's crazy to me that Jesus would risk his own health in order to reach someone, right? Like, he would risk, he also, you know, obviously this wasn't God's will or his plan, but he could risk then being ostracized, you know, as well, or getting some sort of sickness by associating with the lepers or whatever. And he said, like, even that isn't, like, their soul was more important to him than his physical wellness. Or his reputation.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah, and so in the same way for us, we have to get to a place where, I think about that a lot for missionaries during COVID. Like, I can't imagine how many people in the world were looking at them like, you guys are complete idiots for still trying to go out and still trying to share the good news. And like, that's the whole point of the Christian life, is that we're here to share the good news, even if it costs us our own lives, even if it costs us our own wealth or our health or our reputations. And so I think what we see in this story is, for anyone who's like, well, I'm afraid of telling the good news, or for anyone who is struggling with kind of casting a judgment on someone without really knowing them, Jesus is showing us, like, that's actually not what I've called you to. That, like, if you're really going to follow me, it's the whole idea of denying yourself, taking up your cross, and then do as I did. Which means we kind of have to break down some of our own walls in order to reach people who really need it.
It's not comfortable.
Yeah. It's not.
It almost, and maybe this is the wrong mentality to have with it, but it sounds like we're coming up with excuses to almost like dehumanize those individuals. You know what I mean? Like, they're not worth my breath. They're not worth the good news, which is a complete contrast to what Jesus is doing. He is rehumanizing the leper. You know what I mean? Which, I mean, let's be real. We've had conversations about who is our modern day leper. So, like, as Christians, how are we supposed to, you know, rehumanize these people that we are engaging with, or trying to not engage with, but we are supposed to engage with?
Yeah.
I think it starts at the beginning, like the very beginning of the Word of God. I mean, like, he created us all in his image, right? Every person you come in contact with, I don't care what they've done, what they've walked through, what any of that is, they are an image bearer of God.
Amen.
And I think that we need to treat people with that, no matter who they are and no matter what they've done. Right. And it can be somebody that hates me because I'm a Christian. I still need to treat them like they are an image bearer of God, because they are. Right? Even my enemies. I mean, we see that in the New Testament. Like, we are told how to treat enemies. We are told to, and there is a boldness in it. You know, we're not doormats. We're not called to be doormats, but I do think that it's pretty laid out here in the scripture that we are the people that have this. We can't hold it. Mm-hmm. We can't hold it to ourselves. Like, that is not the Great Commission, is to go out into all the world. It's not just, oh, the suburbs where you're comfortable, or the places where you think people will receive it. It is all.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally second that. Like, rehumanizing a leper. And again, I know we gave a couple different definitions mm-hmm. of what a leper might be. It yeah. might just be a sinner. It might be someone who is more ostracized. I think it just starts with humility, as often, you know, everything in the Christian mm-hmm. life does, in that recognizing, like, we are no better. Mm-hmm. And I think that is why that more spiritual application of leprosy makes sense, because all of us have been tainted by, mm-hmm. you know, sin. Mm-hmm. And so starting from this basis of, like, I am no better or no different. I may be better in that God chose me and, like, He is now offering salvation, like, better in that sense, but that was nothing I did, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think you have to, like, view everyone through that same lens of, we are all sinners, mm-hmm. and we're all in need of grace. And that idea of, like, how can I be a vessel of grace to someone else? Like, mm-hmm. now that I've received it, how mm-hmm. can I put myself back in a place when I didn't have it mm-hmm. so that I can offer it to others through Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it starts at a place of, again, there is an element of, like, being able to recognize some of your incorrect preconceived ideas, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Yeah. Like, you do have to be self-aware mm-hmm. in order, just as Jesus was very aware. Again, there were so many people around him, but he saw the one. Mm-hmm. There's often times where, I think as Christians, we're very guilty of, there's so many people around us and we're just seeing ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, we aren't actually looking for anybody. We're mm-hmm. just looking at ourselves. Yeah. We walk into church on Sunday and it's like, how do I feel here mm-hmm. at the church? How am I engaging with the worship? How is the sermon affecting me? And like how often do you walk in church and look at, how can I affect someone else? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that's, like, a big thing of this story is Jesus didn't walk into this thinking about, I just wish people would leave me alone, or why is there so many people following me? Mm-hmm. He was still looking for the one. Mm-hmm. So I think there's an element of, like, how do you rehumanize a leper? Well, you have to actually be looking for them.
True. Yeah.
Like, you have to actually yep. be looking and yep. and understanding that, like, that's our calling, is to be aware mm-hmm. And look out for the one. I don't know why that's just, like, hitting me right now as we've been talking, but I'm like, dang, like, that is kind of the first step, is, like, actually, you need to be aware mm-hmm. that there are lepers around you. It's not all about you, and it's not about what you want or mm-hmm. how you're feeling. Like, look for the other person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very true. And I think it goes back to the mentality of seeking what God really intended for us as humankind, you know? Mm-hmm. I also think, too, like, when you're talking in regards to this story, I think of, like, the leper himself and him approaching God and recognizing that he is God, too. Like, yeah. Okay, he is my last resort. He is my last, he is it. Like, mm-hmm. if he can't help me, nobody can. Yeah. And it's that humbleness where he's like, I got to lay this at his feet. I got to lay everything at his feet right here, right now. I don't care who's watching. Yeah. I don't care that there's a group of people that don't want me around. I am the outcast, and that's okay. I am only looking at him because he is my answer, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think through this idea of, you know, humbleness and humility, you know, if we look just right here, he says, Lord, if you are willing, can you make me clean? And it's this, like, again, I think of, like, my child crying. Like, it's this, Lord, I need your help. Mm-hmm. Please cleanse me. And I think through, you know, in the story, we see the value of a person is on the inside and not the outside, because obviously Jesus can see through this. He can see right. the heart posture of this guy. In a way, we are all lepers, deformed and made untouchable due to our sinful nature. It is through the blood of Christ that we are given the opportunity to be held and made new. So I guess the question that remains is, in our own words, what do we need to have in check before requesting something from the Lord?
Well, I think when I'm praying and I'm going to request something from the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just very practically, I in my mind, I go to, does it align with Scripture? What I'm asking mm-hmm. for, does it align does it make sense, right? And does it align with scripture? I can ask God for $1 million. He's capable of giving that to me. But I also know that, you know what, there's a lot in Proverbs about how I'm to earn money and get money and wealth. Wealth is not bad. Money is not bad. But there, you know, there's an element. So I think lining things up with scripture is the first step to me before I, you know, take a petition to the Lord. I think the other thing is, and we've hit on this a lot, but humility has to be there, because it's His will, and like it's His, I am here on earth to glorify God, pure, plain and simple. Like that's my purpose, that's my identity, that's who I am. I am here to bring Him glory. Within that, does my request and petition align with that? So it's like scripture, and then humility and understanding that I am here to glorify God. So, you know, and He does care for us individually, because I don't want to ever come across like, oh, it's just all, you know, like I'm only ever going to ask for the most important things. No, there are times that I ask for very small things, right? Like most people would think they're very small things, but to me, it's something that's on my heart or my mind. And there is that individual relationship with God, and He does care about that. Mm-hmm. But just filtering through that, those first two, like, does it align with scripture, and having the humility to understand that my purpose here is to glorify God. And then is what I'm asking for aligning with those two things? I think for me, that's the two things I kind of think through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like you said, Jesus models it in the Lord's Prayer, not my will, but yours be done. There's an element of submitting our request to the Lord under His will, right? And under His headship. And the whole idea of just understanding that His plans are better than our own, which does require us to have that eternal perspective that we also often talk about around here as a church, that sometimes the way that God gets glory is through us experiencing a tragedy, or through us experiencing loss or pain or something. And so if the whole point of us being here on earth is to bring glory to Him, we have to understand that that's in every season, and that not all seasons are good, which requires a trust and a faith. So I think all of that kind of has to come together before you're requesting something for Him, because you have to have a base understanding that I could be requesting healing. Is that always going to be God's will for me? Maybe not. And so if it's not, and I've requested it, then am I going to be disappointed and stop trusting God? Or do I actually understand, okay, well, if that's not His will, I'm still going to worship Him anyway. I don't know. I just think there's like this element of being able to surrender your wants and still be able to worship and trust Him all at the same time.
I agree. And I would say, I would add to that, like, it's not only surrendering your wants, it's sometimes surrendering your understanding.
True.
Like, that is such a hard thing, I think, for, like, we are, His ways are higher than our ways, right? Like, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I'm not even promised full understanding here on earth. And sometimes that can be very difficult. It's very difficult to watch a brother or sister, you know, in Christ walk through things like that and have no understanding, either them or you, and and, you know, just being there with them and walking through seasons like that, it can be it can really try a lot of people's faith in their, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, hey guys, I really appreciate yours' time. This has been a really good conversation. I've really enjoyed getting to pick your brains on the leper in this story, and what does it mean to us, how does it apply to us in modern day, and you know, I've really enjoyed our laughs and our conversations. So thank you guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, if you are new to the Redemption Recap, I want to just say thank you for tuning in. If you can do us a huge favor, down in the description, there is a subscribe button. Please go and smash that subscribe button so that you don't miss any time that we release new content, whether it's the podcast, whether it's sermons, you name it. Make sure that you stay tuned so if we drop anything, you're the first to know. If you're listening to this via Spotify or the Apple Podcasts, make sure that you follow this page so that you don't miss anything that we release. And guys, thank you so much for your time, and we will catch you on the next one. The Redemption Recap is an extension of Redemption Church. For more information about the church, please visit experienceredemption.com. Thanks for stopping by.